Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 57. My name is John. Don't you know sarcasm when you hear it? You really need to listen to podcast 56 first. Trust me, it'll be a lot more fun that way. This podcast is part two of a, let's say, review of the classic Peanuts holiday cartoons for Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. But this is not some sweet trip down memory lane or a behind-the-scenes look at beloved nostalgia. No, this is a look at all of the stuff that, in our modern uptight world, would never be allowed on network television. Also, it's a look at things the gang does that, if someone tried it in real life, would get them into boatloads of trouble. If these shows were to be made these days, they'd have to be edited, rewritten, homogenized, and have the current popular collectivist morality forced in as a teachable moment. Last podcast, I talked about the absence of adult figures in the shows, something I'll return to as promised later on in this podcast. And I talked about the horrible diet represented in the specials. I talked about the verbal and physical abuse endured by some of the characters, as well as the gender and racial bias. Of course, I can't leave out why Charlie Brown would be a pill-popping outcast the other children would be taught to fear. Really, just listen to the damn podcast already, and then listen to this one. It's like barely over an hour of your time total between the two, and I think you'll get a good laugh out of it. This podcast, I want to start out with an obscure reference. It happens at the beginning of the Halloween special. Linus and Lucy have just returned home from the pumpkin patch with their giant gourd that Lucy made Linus carry all the way home. Remember, they did all that unsupervised, and there's a chance that they stole that pumpkin from somebody else. When Linus, now rolling the pumpkin, gets to the doorstep, there's something strange in the background. In some states, if you don't have the proper permits, you could get fined, perhaps even jailed. Yes, the Van Pelts collect rainwater. You see, according to the collectivists, rain is public property, even if it falls on your private property. If you don't allow that rainwater to return back to the water table, which obviously is also publicly owned, then you're stealing from your fellow man. So, even if the Van Pelts have filed the proper paperwork with their local and/or state government, they are certainly doing something unethical, like denying the people's rainwater to return to the people. Those bastards. Sticking with the Halloween episode. What kind of twisted freaks give children rocks for tricks or treats at Halloween? I mean, first off, the very idea that you don't like a costume so you give a kid a rock is a testament to what kind of neighborhood these kids really live in. I mean, there's never any indication as to where they live, the size of the town, or any of that. But you get the impression, at least, that it's nostalgic small-town USA. But how nice could this place really be if they toss rocks in a kid's bag instead of candy? I'm telling you, there's more to this place than was ever let on. On the other hand, what kind of an imbecile gives a child a rock and doesn't expect it to be returned through his window? I mean, Last podcast, we already established that Charlie Brown is headed for troubling times. He suffers from depression. He's an outcast. He's routinely mocked. You can just picture that bag of rocks sitting in a closet, each one labeled with the address of the house that gave it to him. And one day, he's going to make sure those rocks are back inside those houses. I really do feel sorry for Charlie Brown. I just worry that the crap that he gets from the other kids is going to cause him to snap one of these days. But you know, maybe it's not just the ostracism with Charlie Brown. Maybe it's the concussions. Again, this ties back to that lack of adult supervision. No year of the Peanuts cartoon strip would be complete without the football gag. The Halloween and Thanksgiving cartoons honor that, with Lucy once again pulling the football away from a running Charlie Brown at the last instant, causing him to fly in the air and fall on his back. That's gotta have a cumulative effect, even on a child, despite the fact that children recover better from injuries than adults. As bad as those are, it's still nothing compared to the Christmas special where the kids are ice skating, again with no protective gear or adult supervision, and Snoopy whips Charlie Brown, with the help of Linus's blanket, head first into a tree. Linus gets whipped into a Coca-Cola sign, but that's been edited out. Yeah, that's been edited out. Imagine the problems Charlie Brown is going to have with that kind of head trauma. And his best friend's sister doesn't care, his own dog doesn't care, and it sure seems like no adult cares. I mean, no wonder he has such a big head. That's brain swelling! Speaking of people that don't care, I guess the Brown family in general doesn't care too much to respect their neighbors either. Snoopy walks around with a collar, but no tags. Rarely is he even seen on a leash, and he's certainly never leashed in the three holiday specials. Sure, maybe they live in a state where leash laws don't exist, or they're not on the books in the sleepy little town where the Peanuts gang lives. But Charles Schulz was born in Minneapolis, so it's often assumed the strip takes place somewhere in Minnesota. And that state law says any person may seize, impound, or restrain any unlicensed dog which the person may find running at large. The fact that a dog is without a license attached to a collar shall be presumptive evidence that the dog is unlicensed. The sheriff and sheriff's deputies or other police officer shall seize, impound, or restrain any dog for which no license has been issued and for which one is required. Snoopy could have, and should have, been restrained by authorities because he obviously needs to have some kind of bureaucratic proclamation that he is allowed to exist on the Browns' property. Because, you know, a normal society can't function without pets being properly documented. If anything, the neighborhood is well within their rights to restrain Snoopy, not that there are any responsible adults around to do so. This spirited little dog is not without his sins in the cartoons. Besides his eating habits mentioned in the last podcast, he also shows another horrible example to the children. I'm sure after you hear this portion, you'll agree with me and call for the Thanksgiving special to be severely edited, if not eliminated entirely, so as not to poison the minds of our American children with his horrible example. When Snoopy and Woodstock are setting up the table and chairs for the Thanksgiving dinner, violating myriad health codes along the way, he comes across one chair that gives him particular trouble. You may recall this is the same chair that Franklin gets stuck with later on in the show. So Snoopy is having trouble getting the fold-away lawn chair to open up. Does he try to get help from Woodstock? No. Does he look for instructions on how to open the lawn chair? No. Does he pause for a moment to examine the chair to try to come up with a better plan to try to open it? No. He attacks it. Now, even in the world of Peanuts, it was relatively odd for an inanimate object to move. I mean, the kite-eating tree did just that. It ate kites, but it didn't move around. Linus's blanket moved on its own, but that's the only example I can think of in the actual comic strip offhand. For some reason, though, this chair gets some serious attitude, and it's a pretty good fighter. Snoopy really has to play dirty in the end to win. So remember, kids, violence is the answer, according to a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, even if it means fighting dirty to get what you want. Speaking of objects doing odd things, later in the Thanksgiving episode, Snoopy has dressed up as a pilgrim and has come into the Brown household with a toy musket. It's got to be a toy musket because it has a big cork in it, like an old-timey pop gun. But for whatever reason, the gun actually fires. So now you've got an unlicensed, untagged canine with a firearm that appears to be a toy, but is in fact real. I mean, you know the anti-gun people have to love this. I mean, see? Toy guns can kill people. The only time a toy gun kills people is when it is accidentally pointed at a policeman with an itchy trigger finger. But statists are okay when police have guns and citizens are unprotected. Snoopy doesn't need to be helping such people with their cause. Even in the only hint that adults are around in any of the holiday specials, there is an epic fail. At the end of the Thanksgiving special, after Peppermint Patty's self-invitation and Charlie Brown's enabling gets resolved, Grandma Brown graciously invites all the friends to come to her dinner at her condominium. The children pile into the station wagon, which then drives off, presumably with an adult in operation. Snoopy stayed behind to actually eat a real dinner with Woodstock, and I don't think even Lucy is so brazen to try to drive the gang to Grandma's. The children are sitting in the back seat of the moving vehicle without seat belts. Do you understand now the level of ineptitude we are dealing with here? Won't someone please think of the children? Does it matter that you have the right to choose or not to choose the level of protection you wish to have in your travel? No, it does not. Does it matter that it is your personal responsibility to accept the consequences of your actions for not wearing a seatbelt should something happen? No, it does not. The state has found that it can use scare tactics to get people to put on seatbelts or else face a fine. What a grand little revenue generator that is for the police and the government. I'm sure the statists want to find a way to edit the Thanksgiving Peanut special so people see children obediently following the state and putting their seatbelts on. Of course, there's another edit they could do to make it all okay. The children could all pile into a school bus. See, all over America, every school day, in school buses sponsored by the government and driven by employees of the government, in ratios of children to adults vastly greater than any ratio in a standard automobile. Children are transported without a damn one of them wearing a seatbelt. If government really cared about safety, they would follow their own rules. But they don't. They care about their clever click-it-or-ticket slogans that threaten you with fines designed to line their pockets. They care about programming people to obey the government. But the kids don't stop there. No, they make matters even worse. Makeup application, shaving, eating, drinking, listening to the radio, and the cause célèbre for the government these days, cell phone use while driving. These are all things that distract drivers. It has become such a plague on society, if you believe the hype in the media, that the government has to step in and create new laws to ban specific actions. What did the kids do? They started singing. In the classic Peanuts style that doesn't require any of the children to keep the same tempo. And they sing loud. That's gotta be a major distraction for the driver. Imagine the fines that would be piled onto a driver for a half dozen children riding down the road being a major distraction. They need to pass a new law demanding that no children sing so loudly they distract the driver of a vehicle. In fact, they need to fast-track this legislation and get it on the next ballot initiative so the citizens can vote. We'll make sure that our friends in the media remind people every newscast of an example of a distracted driver. And if there's no evidence, we'll have them speculate that the driver may have been distracted. We'll create fear in the populace, and we'll have some clever catchphrase to remind people that when they vote for our latest ban, they're being good citizens. Come the new year, if I'm driving in my town and I'm using my cell phone and a cop sees me, even if no other driver is anywhere close to me, and even if I show no signs of distracted driving, I will be an enemy of the state. Oh, but they're being gracious. They're going to let people off with a warning for the first 30 days so they can get used to the new revenue generator. But what do you expect from a bunch of thoughtless kids that don't even respect their connection to society? They don't even recycle their aluminum cans. No, they just throw snowballs at it. How horrible. They don't even think about Mother Earth. Maybe they need a crossover cartoon with Captain Planet. Speaking of annoying cartoon characters, there's one Peanuts kid that's always got on my nerves. Whether it's in the comic strip or the cartoons. Which is kind of ironic because her brother is probably my favorite character. So I do take a little bit of enjoyment in going through a list of all the horrible things my least favorite character does throughout the holiday specials. Lucy Van Pelt. If you watch these specials in holiday order, you know the first thing we see is the Van Pelt children off to get a pumpkin. Now, I already spoke earlier about how they're out unsupervised, and there's no indication that they actually paid for or have any right to take a pumpkin from there. But I want to put a particular focus on Lucy in the patch. Which pumpkin is satisfactory for her? The biggest one, of course. This ties in with her instructions to Charlie Brown when they send him off to get a tree for the school play. Get the biggest aluminum tree you can find, Charlie Brown. Maybe paint it pink. Way to conform to gender stereotypes. Lucy is the epitome of greed in the world of Peanuts. Take the largest portion and to hell with whoever comes next in line. She's going to make sure she gets hers. You don't believe me? What does Lucy want for Christmas? What does she say she always asks for but never gets? Real estate. That's right. Lucy wants to hoard land and resources for herself. If the Christmas special were made today, Lucy would donate all her gifts to the needy and focus all her efforts on raising money for the poor. Because, remember, you are not allowed to want anything for yourself anymore. You aren't allowed to work really hard to achieve a goal for yourself. You aren't allowed to win in a fair competition and build a life of ease. You aren't allowed to dream of a better life. You can't do that because someone somewhere with no connection to you whatsoever might feel jealous of what you work to create for yourself. So, Lucy, you won't be getting that real estate. Ever. Who knows, maybe your plot of land would someday be used as a public park for the next generation of children to play in. And you know, only the government is allowed to steal from future generations. Maybe it's that barrier that keeps Lucy from expressing that alpha side of her. And maybe that's why she has such violent outbursts. I mean, she's constantly shaking and threatening Linus. She gives him 5 good reasons to memorize his Christmas play lines, which culminate in a fist to threaten him. But maybe that's just a big sister being mean to her little brother. That's pretty common in families. Or maybe not. Lucy has another violent outburst that would get her into far worse trouble, especially in the court of public opinion. In fact, this is another case where I'm surprised it doesn't get removed from the show. When Lucy finally notices Snoopy mimicking her behind her back, what does she do? She takes a swing at him. She tries to hit a dog. That's animal cruelty. Far worse than what she does to her kid brother. But the last thing I want to mention about Lucy would definitely get her a visit from the police these days. I know this because there are cases of local police having visited children who do something similar. I speak, of course, of that horrible crime, that unforgivable felony of having her own stand. Now, the real children are usually doing something insidious that gets the attention from police, like selling lemonade. Lucy has a stand without any kind of permit. Shameful. What kind of message are the creators of this cartoon telling children? They need to show Lucy in full obeisance of the law, filling out the proper paperwork to conform to the demands of the government. But it goes further than that. Lucy, at her stand, is practicing psychiatry without a license. Now, forget the fact that she probably gives better advice than any real doctor out there. She just can't do that. She can't give out advice and personal opinions for a nickel without going through the government-approved and accredited criteria. But it doesn't even end there. No. Lucy has an unapproved stand with an unapproved practice. But that's not the worst thing she did in the eyes of the government. What could possibly be worse than what she's already done? The most egregious and atrocious sin you can commit. She charged a nickel and didn't pay taxes on it. How dare she, this evil little child, try to make something of herself without consulting and conforming and paying proper monetary tribute to Almighty Government. So what did the Peanuts gang get right? What things would be perfectly acceptable in today's world? Well, look no further than Lucy and Sally. Lucy, forcing Linus to carry the giant pumpkin home. Sure, they may have stolen the pumpkin, we really don't know. But it's about damn time a man do all the work under the supervision of a woman. Sally, Mrs. Tricks or Treats. So what's her solution? Lawsuit. Frivolous lawsuits really are the American way, it seems. What better way to right a perceived wrong than just dragging to court? Lucy, poking fun at Christmas, being run by a big Eastern syndicate. That's very Occupy Wall Street, and it hints at anti-capitalism, so that's acceptable on television today. But the absolute perfect moment for today's world goes to little Sally. She has, in her words, a long list of things she wants from Santa. Even has it down to the size and the color of each item. When she suggests Santa just make it easy on yourself and send cash. Her brother walks off in frustration, and what does little Sally say? All I want is what I have coming to me. All I want is my fair share. There is nothing more modern America, more acceptable in media and society today, than a person with an overinflated ego expecting things to simply be given to them because it's their fair share. Greed is only applicable in today's society when it comes from someone who has no apparent claim nor has shown reasonable effort to obtain what they want. So that's what the Peanut Specials are all about, Charlie Brown. If people really gave it thought and stopped looking at them through nostalgia-colored glasses, these shows would be removed from the air, reworked, and retold with modern sensibilities. There would be no poor food choices. There would be no helmetless football. Charlie Brown would be properly medicated. There would be nothing to fear. And yes, I really do think there would be people who, if they really thought about it, would freak out over these cartoons. What makes them so subversive? Again, it goes back to the beginning. There are no parents, no adults, no authority figures. No one standing over the children, telling them what to do, protecting them from every harm, and preventing them from doing something that could be remotely dangerous. There's no government. And somehow, you just know, the kids are all right. They make mistakes, they learn from them, all without the guiding hand of mommy and daddy, or nanny government, fretting and interfering. Whether you're a round-headed kid who's dealing with depression, or an alpha female who wants to open her own psychiatry booth, you'll do just fine if you keep trying. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.